The Father's Heart, a podcast by Grace in Africa, hosted by J. Kibiretu Sijiwe. Acts 20:32 says, I commend you therefore to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you your inheritance among the saints. Listen in as we bring you a constant stream of good news straight from the Father's heart. Bless you.
Hebrews 4 verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sown in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. As I have sown in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. See therefore, it remained that some must enter therein, and they do. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Hallelujah. I think, you know, there's a man called Bill Johnson. He's an American preacher. I don't know if you guys know him. His band is quite famous. I don't know if people know him, the preacher. His church is called Bethel. And the worship, the band is famous. So everybody knows Bethel. When they say Bethel, they're thinking, yeah, the band. But there's actually a preacher behind the band. His name is Bill Johnson. Awesome guy, revivalist. He said something that really impacted me some years ago. I think that was the time I attended his conference in Joburg. I think it was 2016. He said, you know, every time in the New Testament when the Bible declares something, it's not so that you can be impressed that Paul is really clever. Like, you can say that because he was clever. I mean, it looks like the fishermen really couldn't actually just put this thing down, so God had to headhunt and look for some clever guy to come. Anyway, I wouldn't say anything. But God looked for a guy called Paul, who was a lawyer, and he came and he just introduced the gospel of praise to the world, because Peter couldn't do it. Even if God threatened him with a vision full of, with a sheet falling out of heaven full of ugly animals. That was God trying to tell Peter, I need you to preach grace. And Peter's like, no, I don't eat dirty things. And God says to him, what God has called clean, thou cannot call dirty. And that was God trying to tell Peter that now is the time for you to take the gospel to all nations. And remember, this is after God says to all of them, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to what? To every creature. But them, these guys were only preaching to Jews. They just couldn't go beyond religion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in Hebrews chapter 4, there's something so fundamental to a Christian. You know, Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But if there's one thing that is so rampant in the body of Christ, it's unrest. The reason why we are running around, we run from church to church, we run from country to country looking for preacher, from preacher to preacher, teacher to teacher, it's because there's so much unrest in our hearts. There's no reality to the experience that we've had of God. We're always hearing that there's an awesome guy in some place. There's an awesome preacher in some place. There's this, there is that. But never have we really come to a place of encounter. So Bill Johnson was saying,
Every statement in the new covenant is not just a statement to impress you or make a declaration about some legal process. No. Every statement in the new covenant is an invitation for an encounter. It's an invitation for you to experience something. So Paul writes to the Hebrews, which is the Jews, and he says to them, there therefore remains a rest for the people of God. People can't enter in because of unbelief. People can't experience Jesus because of unbelief. But there's so much that we are doing. It's like Christians. Somebody saying that Christians are like ducks on a pond. On the surface, you know, you think the duck is like the most calm animal on the planet. But if you go beneath the surface, the thing is paddling like a devil. Like, in order for the thing to stay on top of the water, it needs to be paddling like crazy. And that's exactly what Christians are doing. That's exactly the Christian life that we are living today. And if Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, why should it be so hard? Why should it be so complicated? Why do I need to drink 200 liters of oil? Why do I need to give away all my money? What if I've given everything away and yet still nothing has changed? Where is God? Where is the God of the Bible? May the real Jesus please stand up.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Maybe I'll just tell you the story. You can read for yourself. And in Exodus 33, you can just read from verse 7 there to, I think once I start talking, I keep talking. So I might go over to verse 23 there. Just read verse 7 to verse 23. But this is a story of Moses praying. It's a famous prayer that Pentecostals love to sing about. Moses comes to God and he says, God, I want to see your face. Show me your glory. And I think I covered this I don't know whether it's a chapter in the book that I wrote, in the God of Jacob, where Moses is crying out to God and says, God, show me your face. And yet, you know, just the previous verses right there, there's a statement that says that God used to speak to Moses face to face. And Moses comes to God and God says, God, show me your glory. And God says to Moses, no man shall see my face and live. And you sit there, you're wondering if there's contradiction. You sit there, you're wondering, but they just say he spoke to God face to face. And now God says, if you see my face, you will not live. So what is the problem? What is the proper story here? The thing that I'm trying to bring to you, to pull your attention to here, is there's something in the Old Testament. There's a level in the Old Testament that you could reach. And there's a level in the New that people are not reaching because they're stuck with the old.
Yeah.
And God says to Moses, you cannot see my face and live, but I will. So Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And God says, you cannot see my face and live, but I will cause my goodness. But why is God talking about goodness when Moses is talking about glory? Isn't he supposed to be talking about the shimmers and shining stars and all that stuff? But God says, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. So we are looking for glory, and God says, I will show you goodness.
So a lot of the time, glory is always in the spectacular. You know, like glory really is about the glory of the Roman Empire was really in the armies, but the military might how they could impress. And we are still stuck with that mindset that, you know, we need to be impressed. God needs to impress me. And yet God is not trying to impress you. God is trying to show you kindness. He's trying to show you goodness.
Hallelujah.
And that's not why we are here. I've been preaching grace, I think, maybe for a decade now. And I've been seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. But I've realized that it's not the miracles that I'm after, really. Because people can get miracles in a lot of places. It's the gospel of grace that really impacts people's hearts. The blind see, the deaf hear, the miracles, the turnarounds, people are blessed and stuff like that. But ultimately, I realize that my pursuit is not for the things that are fleeting away. My pursuit is not for silver and gold. My pursuit is not for things, it's not for fame or gold, but my pursuit is for the imperishable very reality of the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
My goodness.
Amen.
I don't know if I say that right. I wanted to teach today. I feel like I need to preach. Just shake something up. I'm really feeling great as a preacher. You see people sitting on the edges of the chairs, and I'll tell you, yeah, today I'm preaching good.
That's the purpose.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But to be honest, guys, I don't need no type of religion. I'm tired of religion. I want Jesus.
Amen.
One time, I was sharing the story with the saints yesterday as we come in the car. So there's this lady, I think the doctor met her. So the lady was very sick. A mutual friend, he was supposed to come and pick me so I could meet his grandmother who had wanted to see me. She's a pastor. She was like 94. She wanted to see me, and I was like, yo, how awesome would it be for me to be blessed by this old woman? And funny thing, when I get there, like I kneel, I'm like, Grandma, bless me. People are like, but you are the pastor, and you must bless her. And she's big. You are big. I'm thinking, there's something wrong with this picture for me. But anyway, but that's not. So as we are going to this guy's grandma's place, he says to me, we need to pass through a friend of mine's house. You need to pray for her. And I was like, no problem. I always had my oil with me. I always carried my oil. And so we get to her house. I looked at her. I was like, I'm going to pray for you when I get healed. The woman was sitting on, her couches were modified. Her bed was modified. She couldn't walk more than 200 meters, I think. Is it 30 meters? Not really short. Like, yeah, like, she couldn't walk far. Like, she was supposed to stay. She couldn't stand for 30 minutes. So we came into her house. I said to her, really, I wasn't there to impress her. And I wasn't. So I prayed for her like 5 minutes, probably shorter than 5 minutes, I can assure you. And we left. Within 5 minutes, we had left her house. And she had said she wasn't feeling pain. But, you know, people say they're not feeling pain now because maybe they're just feeling alright for that moment. But she says she's sitting there for like 30 minutes. Still, she's not feeling anything. And then she begins to stand up. She says, the Holy Ghost says to her, big walk. So she begins, she gets out. She walks for like 300 meters and comes back. She's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And now she gets healed. She didn't say anything to me until maybe a week later, because I think she was like trying to really check it out. I'm like, that's a good thing. And now what really touched my heart was when I was invited to a church in the city, and she comes and she testifies at the meeting. She tells me, but Pastor, we wore your shoes. They don't look very prophetic, you know? Your coat, the jeans you were wearing, you didn't
didn't have the whole thing. There was no protocol. Where were the bodyguards? But I'm thinking, duh. Didn't you get Jesus?
Thank you from all of us at Grace in Africa. I believe you've been blessed by this episode. Tune in for our next episode, fully packed with goodies from the Father's heart. Until next time, grace to you and God bless you.